Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. Let's dive in. Hello, welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, and we are continuing this month's theme of family provision applications, but switching gears. So first week, I really did a bit of an overview on family provision applications and what that means. Last week, we looked at the biggest hurdle for applicants, which is really showing a financial need. And this week, we're going to move into kind of the executor's role in family provision applications. So just as a quick recap, a family provision application is where someone is contesting a will saying that they haven't been adequately provided for. And as an executor, your role is to really defend the will and defend the estate and I guess try to keep the status quo. You know, as an executor, you act for beneficiaries and for the estate. That's your role, to really administer the estate in accordance with the wishes in the will. So a family provision application is really deviating from that position. So it's extremely common for executors. One of the first questions that I ask when an executor comes to me and we're looking at probate or looking at distributions is, are there any spouses or children not included in this will? Do you think a challenge is going to be made to this will? And it really dictates kind of the steps that we end up taking. So, for example, I recently did a will. We did a probate for a deceased, and the deceased actually had two estranged children that they hadn't been in contact for quite some time. So they were not provided for in the will at all. And what we actually did and what I recommended is that we held off distributing any assets in the estate until the appropriate time limitations had ceased. So as a reminder from the first podcast this month, that is 6 months from the date of death, they need to notify you if they intend to make an application. 9 months from date of death, they need to make the application. So quite often, if we feel like a family provision application is a possibility, we definitely hold off distributing during that time because executors are personally liable for the estate. So if you distribute, you may have be trying to claw that back at some point and you're going to be personally liable to the other beneficiaries. So that is one recommendation that we will make if we feel like a family provision could kind of be floating around out there. Another really common one that executors will find is not that children have been completely excluded. It's just that children have had an uneven distribution under the will. And that can be for a number of reasons. I mean, in my estate planning practice, there are a number of reasons people reduce percentages to kids, do an unequal distribution. And I think it's a really good reason why, you know, for an executor to have a solicitor drawn up the will in that manner. Usually the solicitor will have recorded some reasonings, you know, their file record reasonings. There might be a statutory declaration or a letter of wishes that helps back us up a little bit or gives us some kind of idea. So as an executor, that's the kind of will that you want to be dealing with, not a public trustee, not an online, not a DIY. I find that those ones are 100%, if there's an uneven distribution, 100% they will be subject of a family provision application. As an executor, it's just one of the things that we really look at. It can be difficult sometimes for an executor if you're an executor and a beneficiary of the will and the will is being contested. You know, it can feel like a very personal attack, and that's why we need to really designate what your role is. You know, are you acting as executor? Are you acting as beneficiaries? It may, in your opinion, become inappropriate for you to continue to act as an executor if, you know, if you were the main beneficiary of the will, you might like it. It really just depends. But your role as an executor is to ensure that the will is properly administered. Sorry, the estate is properly administered in accordance with the will. So it's really important that you get legal advice straight away, particularly if you get an inkling that a family provision might be out there. If you know there's an uneven distribution, don't waste any time. Get legal involved straight away so that you understand your rights, you understand the time limitations, and you understand what you need to do. Now, in terms of what can happen, the estate will be notified of an application before it is made. And then when the application is made, the executor or the executor solicitors will be served that application. Legal fees to defend the claim are usually borne by the estate. It's extremely important that you manage the estate appropriately during this time so that there's no suggestion that you have acted kind of inappropriately and are personally liable for any costs at any time. But for the executor, you know, it really is about the estate bears the costs. And everyone has to be mindful of that when we're dealing with a family provision application. A lot of people will say, oh, we'll just make a claim because the estate pays. That's not always the case. If you're an applicant that has, is unsuccessful and there have maybe been attempts for settlement along the way and you've not taken those or you've acted fictitiously or frivolously, the court might in fact award costs against an applicant personally. But it's the same for an executor. If you act inappropriately, the court has that option available to them. It's not the usual course, but that is available. So when you are defending a claim, it's important that you act appropriately. After an application is filed, the next really big step is really a mediation for the family provision application, and that is where the majority of claims end up being settled. That usually happens at that point in the mediation that they settle. Some might say that that's a bad outcome. It's probably a good outcome. The cost of going to court can be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's extremely expensive, which is why you don't get many cases anymore for family provisions, because they are settling in that mediation or negotiation stage. Sometimes you'll have an applicant just make the application so that they can preserve their time limitation of it. You know, you might be in active negotiations, but they make the application to just preserve their time limitation. That's okay. As long as you're acting in the best interests of the estate, and hopefully not, but if the application is not resolved, you do end up going to trial, and that can be very expensive. But as I said, most matters settle before trial. It's hard for me to say, you know, what makes a claim successful or not successful, because it really depends on a lot of things. One of them being the financial needs of the applicant, the size of the estate is really a big one, competing beneficiaries, you know, the position of those competing beneficiaries in terms of their own financial need, whether there are minors involved is a really big one. Wishes of the deceased are taken into consideration. They're not the determining factor. There's not a huge amount of case law that relies heavily on statutory declarations, but there was one recently, I cannot now recall its name, I think that came out of New South Wales, where the court really did heavily rely on a statutory declaration as to reasons why a will should not have the distribution changed. So that's quite an interesting case, but it really is dependent on a whole lot of things, and there's lots of things for an executor to consider. And that's why you really need to be getting legal advice nice and early. I will say, being an executor that's subject of, you know, an executor of a state subject to a family provision application, whether you're a beneficiary or not, is extremely stressful and extremely emotional. And I guess from an estate planning perspective, it's why we always say that you should carefully consider your executor, particularly when you feel like there may be the potential of a family provision application. So what I, 100%, and I think I've said it like 10 times already in this podcast, if you're an executor in that situation, please get legal advice. Really important. Rely on, you know, some legal expertise and legal assistance to get you through this. And also clarifying for you what your role is as an executor, what you need to do to be protecting yourself. So I hope that that hasn't scared everyone out of being an executor for life. Probably has, to be honest. I mean, it's never good to, I like talking to executives in this position, but it's hard for the executors to be in this position. It's emotional turmoil. It's extremely difficult. But as I said, legal advice is your best bet. So if you want to get legal advice from me, you can hop on your website, www.vickerlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicker. If you're worried about someone's will that you know, I often will have discussions with executors before the person has died just so that they can get an understanding of what the parameters are. It's really open in terms of what you might need, but you know, the free consultation, that's the purpose of it, to figure out how and when I can help you. So next week, we're going to wrap up May talking about a deed of family arrangement. And that's where you've, you know, come to an agreement following a family provision application and you're changing the distribution. So what that is and what that means. So I hope you tune in next week. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I hope you have a great week. I will speak to you next time. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicker Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, you can pop on my website, www.vickerlaw.com.au, to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicker. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicker, signing off.
The Vicker Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.